Blog Talk Radio.
Don't believe what you know to be true.
What's going on?
There's no such thing as common sense.
What's happening?
Science isn't about facts. It's about what we want you to believe.
Somebody kill me!
Simple Facts of Life Radio, where we notice that sometimes it seems as though news becomes old, but old things appear to be new, and there are some things that just never get old. You know, things like personal liberty, personal responsibility, and personal accountability. I am, as always, your host, The Chief, coming to you from my hopefully coronavirus-free bunker somewhere in the vicinity of Portland, Oregon. Now, today I want to do a mostly coronavirus-free show. I don't know if that will be completely possible since it seems to be overriding everything we do, but hey, I'll keep it to a minimum. If you'd like to join the show, the number here is 949-272-9588. Press 1 if you'd like to talk. Now, start off with today. You know, I started off talking about things that were old. Well, speaking of old things, today is a very special day for our friends in the British Commonwealth. Yesterday is the birthday of Queen Elizabeth II. I think she's like 94, something like that. I guess Queen's birthday is some kind of holiday over and around the world. So, well, Queen Elizabeth is the longest reigning monarch in British history. In fact, see, I'm kind of old, but she inherited the throne something like about 4 months before I was born. So, as far as I'm concerned, she's been the queen forever. But, okay, that means, well, I'm not as old as the queen. I'm pretty old. And there's something about being old. When you're my age, you remember a lot of things that nowadays are studied as history, things that happened in the past. People talk about, write about how things were, what happened. And I can remember back then, and what I hear today isn't always exactly true. But okay, as the years go by and I remember things, one thing that seems to happen more and more frequently is we come up on 50-year anniversaries of things. And of course, when that happens, I'll tend to talk about them. Back years ago, in one of the first shows I ever did here, I talked about the 50th anniversary of the death of John F. Kennedy. Last summer was the 50th anniversary of the Apollo 11 first landing on the moon. So I talked about that here. Well, tomorrow is one of those days. It is a 50th anniversary. Anybody have a clue what I'm talking about? Maybe you do, because especially if you listen to this show, because it's kind of an annual tradition here, something I rant about every year at this time, but today is a little more special. Tomorrow is the 50th anniversary of the first Earth Day. Yes, it was April 22nd, 1970. Somebody decided we needed an Earth Day. All right, I mean, I remember back then because, you know, I was a senior in high school at the time, and I remember we were had various programs and things that we had to do because it was Earth Day, and I vaguely remember, I think I took advantage of all the hoopla and festivities to sort of take a hike and skip out of school early that day. Yeah, that was the first Earth Day for me. But I talk about it every year because I remember what it was about back then. I grew up in Los Angeles. And back in Los Angeles, back in the 1960s, things were, the air was pretty lousy. I mean, back then we used to call it smog. Now we call it air pollution or whatever, but it was bad. Back in the late 50s, early 60s, when I was in grade school, I mean, I remember sitting in class and my eyes were stinging. That's how bad it was. So, yes, Earth Day seemed like a good idea. Take care of the environment. And so, you know, back then, the state of California passed some sensible laws. Not everybody was on board, as I recall, but we kind of agreed we should do something and, you know, limited auto emissions and that sort of thing and power plants and tried to clean up the air. And it kind of worked. In fact, they actually worked pretty well because up until a couple of years ago, I used to drive a truck and I passed through Los Angeles quite frequently. Been a couple miles of the house where I used to live, and I was always amazed at how clean the air was, even though there were millions more people and millions more cars in Los Angeles than there were back then. Did a good job. But what happened? We just sort of lost track of or lost focus on it because, well, let's see, how were things back then? What was the settled science of the day? You know, we were all ready to face the coming ice age. Yeah, okay. I guess we all froze to death, you know, 40 years ago because settled science, don't you know? But, I mean, there was actually a plan. I mean, not a serious plan. About as serious as the Green New Deal, I guess. But there was actually somebody had figured out that, well, it'd be a good idea if maybe we put some orbiting mirrors up in space, huge things that would reflect more sunlight and help keep the planet warm. Now, granted, it wasn't serious, but it was an actual idea back then. And, of course, there were, as the years went on, things got, the environment became an issue. We worried about acid rain. There was a big hole in the ozone layer, and we were all going to fry or get skin cancer or something was going to happen. It's always something. So now what do we have? The latest bit of settled science is global warming, which if that's not a thing, we'll just call it climate change. Now, of course, I read too long ago, somebody had a brilliant idea. Instead of orbiting mirrors, we should put up orbiting shades to shield the sunlight and cool the Earth down. Yeah. It's always something. Now, my thing, and not everybody agrees with me on this, but it's always occurred to me, it's kind of my annual rant here, is what happened? The environmental movement of the 1960s and 1970s spawned a huge industry. Ecological awareness solved the problems of our environment, all that sort of thing. Well, as I mentioned, a lot of the problems have been solved, at least up to the point of diminishing returns. We're never going to get the air completely clean, but like I say, in Los Angeles, it's a lot cleaner than it was 50 years ago. Back then, we all remember, well, I remember the TV spot with the Indian in the canoe paddling through the polluted water and standing there, and the one tear came running out of his eye. Well, water's a lot cleaner than it used to be. Solved a lot of problems. So, what do we get? We get an industry which is in the business of solving problems. Well, if you're going to be in a problem-solving business, you better have some problems to solve. And if you can't find any problems to solve, you kind of have to invent one, don't you? Because if there's no problem, you can't cash in on solving it. And that's where we get people like Al Gore trying to cash in on things, his carbon credit scheme, where he's going to make $1 billion as a broker for carbon credits. Have Greta Thunberg cashing in on things, becoming a celebrity, traveling around the world. Just trying to solve problems, even if there aren't any. So now we have Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the Green New Deal because, yes, we need to get off fossil fuels, which, of course, brings up another point. Back then, 50 years ago, we were all terrified because we were going to run out of oil in 10 years, 20 years, whatever. Well, I just reading today that there is so much oil, the people that are pumping oil, the prices drop below zero. They will pay you to take their oil, but they're not even getting takers because there's no place to store it. That's how much oil there is in the world. So, but problem solvers need to have problems to solve. And yes, I guess it's time to once again bring up the Bob Newhart analogy. You remember the Bob Newhart show? Not the first one. He did a few of them. But the one where he played a psychologist in Chicago. Show ran for a few years. And one of the running gags throughout the entire story was that we had to, you know, there was a Yiddish group therapy session, and so in order to, you know, do his group, it was like for the run of the show, it was the same people in there, and they always had the same problems, because if any of their problems were ever solved, Bob Newhart would be out of a job. Okay, enough of that. That's my annual Earth Day rant. But there's something else I wanted to talk about today, and it's something that occurred to me actually a few years ago, but I don't think I'd ever mentioned it here on this show before. I might have mentioned it on some other shows I might have called into, but this is an issue when I'm talking about old things that are becoming new. Right now, we have a situation where privacy is a huge issue. I mean, we talk about what's going on with our privacy, particularly, yes, I'm going to have to say the coronavirus, because they're trying to keep track of us. I mean, this is beyond 1984. I mean, George Orwell could not have imagined this sort of thing. I mean, they're trying to look at our phones to make sure we're not leaving home, GPS tracking and all that. And now I read something a few days ago. They want to get some kind of a thing where, you know, they can turn on your Bluetooth and make sure that you're not coming within 6 feet of the other Bluetooth or something like that. These are the invasions of privacy. Like I say, George Orwell could not imagine, but something that's been sort of kicking around for a few years, and I find even much scarier than this, and more Orwellian, is microchip implants. Now, this is a good deal, because now we don't have to carry cards. We just wave our hand in front of some scanner and everything's fine. They know who we are. They know how much money we have, what we want to spend, all that easy. All our medical records can be accessed with a wave of the hand, or even if we just happen to be passing by the wrong place. Yeah, Orwell really could not have imagined this, but it's coming to the point where maybe somebody did imagine it, but imagined it much longer ago than the days of Orwell. I'm talking many centuries ago. Now, if you listen to this show with any degree of regularity, every now and then I mention the fact that I'm not a religious person. Now, I do not criticize people who are. I actually find the hardcore militant atheists to be more annoying than the very openly religious people. And that's just because the atheists always like to talk about reason and logic and things like that. And so, using this, how can they claim that God doesn't exist? Because I think, you know, you can't prove a negative. Isn't that like page 2 of the Logic 101 textbook? So I don't criticize people that are religious. And I've even, a few months back, I did a show here saying that a lot of our problems are due to the fact that we are not following things that are in the Bible. Because even if you don't believe the Bible is the Word of God, anyone with any, you know, a functional brain cell who's looked at the Bible at all has to agree there is a lot of ancient wisdom in there. And so, if we followed that, I think we'd do a lot better. But if you look about prophecies and things, you know, there are some things that just make even me wonder. Did the writers of the Bible get some things right? So here's what I want to do right now. I want to start out. I want to say hi to the people. I got Tim Tapp, who's coming up in a little while, is in the chat room. Vorpal Bite. I have Stephen from Michigan is on the phone line. And I mentioned that I would like you people to do a little something for me, with me here. I'd like to do a little experiment, perhaps. So here's what I'd like you guys to do. Just grab a pencil and paper, you know, or something to write with, something to write on, and you know, and bear with me. Just grab that. Here, I'll wait a second here. Okay, does everyone have your writing instrument? Now, I talked about the Bible here. I'm going to read a little something out of the Bible. This is Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 to 18. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save that he had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Okay, we've all heard this. The mark of the Antichrist, 666. But is there something more to this? I'd like you to do, a little experiment with me here. Now, interpret 666, but I want you to write it down, but don't write it down 666. Here's what I want you to write. Remember it said in 103:6. So here's what I want you to do. Write down 600, 600. Then after that, or immediately following, write another 6. So it looks sort of like 6006. Okay? You with me so far? Now, we got a couple 6s here. Let's get one more. Write down the numeral 1 followed by the 5th letter of the English alphabet. Okay. Now, look away. Forget about what you wrote, the numbers, the letters. Just look away. Let your eyes blur a little. Then look back down at what you wrote. Tell me what you see. People in the chat room, if you can, tell me if you see something that might be the number of someone who wants to implant something in your hand or in your forehead. Stephen, if you see it, you know, press 1. I'd like to let you know if you see anything. A little bit of a delay here, so I just want to know if anybody sees the name of the Antichrist. No? Nobody? Not yet. Well, here's what I see if I do what I said. if you sort of blur the sixes, it maybe look like a G. So instead of 60061E, you might see a G. O O G L E. Is Google the one that's trying to have us implant something in our hand that none might buy or sell, save he had the mark? No, Vorp, Trump is not the Antichrist. Okay. It's just something I'd seen, because when I first thought of that a few years ago, the big thing was the Google glasses. Or they, that kind of was a... Tim Tapps thinks maybe he saw it. Google glasses on your forehead. Android phone in your hand that none might buy or sell without going through Google. Is that who's planning on taking over the world? I don't know. Something to think about, maybe. Well, okay, so I'm down to the last few minutes here, and I want to thank those for listening. Duck and Dive was in and out of here pretty quick. Tim Tapp, Wolf Bite Stephen from Michigan here. Thank you for listening. I guess Tap Into the Truth will be coming up in about 33 minutes from now here on Blog Talk Radio. It's blogtalkradio.com/TimTap. And you know what? I'll just play a little bit of Eddie Walker Jr. here and close out with that.
Sailing out on the sea, make a sailor so lonely. About her, thinking now about being home with your lovely. Since he can't be there, he's on the sea, thinking about her. Yeah. It's all so true. Sad part, every shade of blue. His life, every shade of blue. Underway in the Navy, he misses her when he is sleeping. He dreams. Magical place in her arms. In his mind, he can get away from the ocean. Goes adrift from wave to wave on the ocean. He's dreaming home of his baby. Be with her someday, maybe. He loves his baby, but now his life is every shade of blue.